thank you. It's in your Son, Jesus, because that's the only thanks there is. God, we're so grateful for all the things that you've done, what you're doing, and praise God, as you've promised, you will perform the good work that you've begun in us. God, help us to just sit and be still and watch the wonderful hand of God. Lord, let us just come as we're going to read today and feast at the table spread for me. Praise be to God. We're so thankful that it is soon and very soon. And it is going to be face to face. And as the Word of God says, we shall be like Him. Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for that hope. And it's not an if, it's a when. And praise be to God, as we look into your scriptures, it's coming soon. All I can pray, Lord, is help us to wake up to it. Help us to wake up. We will rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice as we look into the soon coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that we can praise you with our lips. Thank you, God, that we can lift up our voices to you. I pray, God, that it would be encouragement to all that those are here today, that we do give thanks, honor, and praise in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you want to open your Bibles, we are going to the 23rd Psalm. And I'm thankful to the Lord how God so confirms and gives us such sufficient witness just in our hearts, and how the Spirit truly gives us such unity in Him, and we're so grateful to God. But it is Thanksgiving week, and today the Spirit, I believe, has encouraged us to rejoice in the Thanksgiving meal that God provides to us each and every single day. Amen? Each and every single day, we are sitting down at quite a meal, and I really want to give thanks to God because it's truly the Thanksgiving meal, and praise the Lord, it goes on and on and on. But in the 23rd chapter and the 5th verse, it says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." Now, you talk about a feast. I've had some good food over my lifetime. It's starting to show more and more. But I'm thankful that I like food. I have a real affinity for ice cream and fried chicken. But I'll do turkey and pumpkin pie as well, too. But I'm thankful to the Lord also. It doesn't show as much as it does because, remember, bodily exercise profiteth a little. Okay. But we thank the Lord for it, and we're grateful to God. But I think of all the sweet Thanksgiving meals that I've had, and had so many over with Brother Hill and his home. And I remember the popo peas and the shrimp cocktail he'd bring out. And so careful to do each and everything. The green beans and mashed potatoes, the noodles, the turkey, the dressing, the pumpkin pie and pecan pie, sometimes with or without salt. You never know sometimes with Sister Hill what she'd put in there, but she was such a sweetie, and I thank God for all of those things that happened over at the house. What a tremendous testimony of the love of God and all the things that we do need to overcome in our lives. But brothers and sisters, all of these things and the sweetness that we've had truly in our natural lives at Thanksgiving time is nothing to be compared with the feast that He provides to us each and every single day. Amen? Amen. Nothing's to be compared to that. And you have to think about what He's saying here. It is on a table. And praise God, it's His table for you and it's for me. But think about this. It's in the presence of mine enemies. And I remember is when the Lord really brought this scripture to my heart, I got to wondering. I said, well, Father, why in the world would you invite such a bunch of rascals to a table that you're preparing for me? Why are we going to do it this way? I'd rather have some folks that I like. What do you think, huh? Or some things that might be more pleasing, at least to my sensations or my feelings or my wants. And so precious, again, going right back to the Word of God, He tells us that there's nothing more precious to Him than the trying of our faith. Amen? See, that's how we grow up. He's got to get us into situations and circumstances that are way beyond us, out of our comfort zone. Amen? See, because he's got to prove himself faithful. If he's got you time and time again into things that you think you can handle, then again, you thought you handled it. But God's so precious, specifically, and right on time, he's going to bring you into that wall that there's no way it's going to move unless its mountain be removed by the faith of the Son of God, and praise the Lord, it's gone. And it's wonderful. It can still be there in other people's eyes, but no, there's nothing more mighty than my God. I believe in Jesus' name. The way of escape's already been made. I'm just counting him faithful of what he's already done on the cross. And I want to think of the victory that he already won as opposed to the obstacle you're still looking at in my life. What do you think? We got to get it right now. But those rascals are here at our table. You think about this. And again, the Holy Spirit, he's so sweet in how he's promised that he'll take the things of Christ and he'll make them yours. Well, here's Christ. This is Christ. You know, that's the Word of God. This is the only thing that's ever going to last. It's the only thing that's ever going to be. It says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but the Word of God endureth forever. Forever. Whether you want to believe it or not, this whole thing points to this Word. I appreciate, I was visiting with a young man, and it happens often. Well, how do we know that the Word of God is the Word of God? By faith. I mean, that's the only way you're really going to believe it. But if you want to go back into history, if you ever take, you know how they say historical facts, it's just basically this is proven or that is proven. Evidences. How many times something was written about, how many times something was proven or whatever. I'm going to tell you historically, there is nothing that can compare with how much evidence and proof, even naturally speaking, that this is the Word of God. It's true. But we want to take everything else as an historical fact. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're going to take anything as a historical fact and you don't take this, then you're just excluding something that has more historical evidence than anything that there is. But that's still not going to get it. It's still not going to help you to come to believing that this is the inspired, divine, true Word of God by faith. By the Spirit hitting you and saying, yep, God, I believe you sent a son, and his name is Jesus, and thank the Lord he came, and he lived, and he died for me. I'm thankful he died for you, but he died for me. And I accept that precious blood. And as my brother said, I'm so thankful. The Father can see through anything and everything. He can. He can see right through your heart. He can see right through your mind. He can see through time. He can see through space. But the only thing he can't see through is the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus. God is looking at the blood when he sees my life. When I see the blood, I shall pass over you. Amen. Now that means he didn't go away. Don't get me wrong. I mean, he's holding me tight. Because his son has got me, and the Father has got that. Praise be to God. All right. But you see, we got this dinner going on. And it's going on every single day. But as the Lord brought this to my heart, it's kind of like a twofold event. We are feasting at this table right now. See, a lot of people think this is a time to come. No, no, no. You're feasting at this table right now if you want to. And matter of fact, you better wake up to it. You are feasting at this table. And you got to see the beauty of the feast that you're feasting at this time. See, the beautiful thing about this is these enemies that are seated all around it, they don't even realize why they're really there. Really, they don't think about this. See, they think that they're there and they've shown up to harm me, to cause great damage in my life. But see, all the while, God is using them. See, in Proverbs 16:4, it says that he has prepared the wicked for the day of evil. God's got it under control. He really does. They're not just out and about, and it's a chaotic thing. God has a specific plan for Satan. Now, he's going to end up, and we already know that, and it's done. But right now, there's a specific use. He's so evil, so raunchy, and so bad that he thinks, and all of that enemy going on, that there's a destruction going on in my life. But as I turn it over to God and I look to Him, He's prepared the table. He's got them seated right where they need to be, in the exact order that they are around that table. And He said, "Son, you just sit there and watch me." Now, this is some wonderful stuff. Now, see, I think how stupid these guys are. See, they took that invite, hook, line, and sinker, and they showed right up and said, "Let me get at him." You ever think about that with Job? How God, again, had to basically, "Hey, Satan, dummy, I got to show you something. Have you seen, observed my servant Job?" And here came the curtain. Boom. And there he was. "Oh, yeah. Okay, I see him. Well, let me get at him, God, and I'll show you that he ain't going to be your servant anymore. You protect him so that he doesn't have a worry. He doesn't have a thing to think about. Let me get at him. I'll show you that he'll curse you. I'll show you that he'll be quick to unbelief. I'll show you that he will complain and murmur and fall away from anything of God." What do you think? God just threw him out there and said, "Well, I guess you're just going to be raw meat here, Job. I just got to get you out there. We'll just see how it goes. 50-50, 90-10. See, God doesn't do that. He's already won it. He already knows. He says, "I want you to see my servant Job." And the devil tried to get at him, and he tried to do all these things. He took his children. He took his wealth. Took all of these things. He even took that sweet wife. And she is a sweet wife. But it hurt her heart so she began to despise what was going on. And the only encouragement she could give to her husband was, "Curse God and die." Job couldn't even look to his better half, as they say. And Job, all he could say is, "Though he slay me, though he slay me, will I trust him." Okay? Now, God said, "Okay, that's enough. I've proven myself faithful in him." See, that wasn't even of Job. I hope you understand that. That was we know as grace. That's God's doing in his life. And he said, "Enough, old Satan. I'm going to show you something now." And he gave him a double portion, didn't he? He gave him a double portion. Amazing. Twice of everything he had. And see, his little children, a lot of people said, "Well, he only gave him the same amount that he had." See, he never lost them kids. They're up in heaven just waiting for daddy to come home. And I think of that with loved ones going on right now, and especially with, like I say, our neighbor. Saying so long is not an easy thing. But God, over and over in his word, it's just a little time. Soon and very soon. Soon. We're going to be together. And we're going to be together like never before. Because we're going to be like him. It's going to be quite a time. A party that will never end. Praise the Lord. Now, he stopped that nonsense. He showed himself faithful in Job. And could you imagine how mad the devil was? You talk about a stick. "Well, old devil, I already got my foot on your neck anyways. And it's just a matter of time." Do we believe this? I pray you do. The word of God is true. And if we'll just get to believe in the word of God, I'm going to tell you something. You'll feel better. You will. God never changes, but you'll be better. Because he is the God of better. But it's how much word do you really want to take into your life? Why do we want to stop? Why do we want to just say, "Well, this is enough"? It's not enough. By the grace of God, I'm thankful of heart. I don't ever want it to be enough. And it won't be. It says, in the ages to come, the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness to us that believe. It's just so awesome. It's never going to stop. You talk about an intense lover. I'm thankful. I'm realizing that when people said, "You used to kind of be an insult, brother, you're intense." Well, praise the Lord. I want to be intense about it. I want to be passionate by God's grace. How could we not be? You ever been in love? Huh? Some of these nuts, they get so in love, they have to stand on a table and shout it out. Oh, I love her. I was such a nut, I had to write a song and even sing my engagement vows to my wife. Oh, don't let my sons hear that. Dad was like that. Scary. But I love her. I do. And I'm so thankful to God. But why be ashamed? Why be ashamed? That's your love. Is Jesus Christ your love? He will be if you realize how much he loves you. And he will be. He will be. And nothing will stop it. Praise the Lord. Now, I know a lot of people say, well, brother, you've really lost it, huh? Praise the Lord, I've lost it. And praise the Lord, he's given me his mind. And that's what we're sharing today as we get like-minded with him. But we've heard before the sayings that through adversity, we grow stronger. Amen? That it takes resistance to build muscle. There's some young guys in here and ladies, and they're all working out. We understand that. Just don't get consumed. That a body, in order for it to grow up into its fullness, it needs to be exercised. Amen? Amen. But see, the Bible told us this a long time ago. It said, when you're weak, then I'm strong. Praise God. Praise God. God is strong in us in that weakness. We know this. Adversity is God's most effective tool in developing strong faith. He has to bring us to the Red Sea. He has to bring us through the Red Sea. And then when we start murmuring 3 days after the Red Sea on dry ground, as he shakes his head, when are you ever going to believe me? Here comes the water from the rock. And then when I get hungry, oh gosh, he brought me out here to starve again. And here comes the manna. But I don't want the manna, and then he gives me the partridge coming out my nose, huh? Come on now. We know these things, brothers and sisters. But see, that's just Adam. Quick to unbelief. Come on, we know that. We know that. But brothers and sisters, trials are the stepping stones to strong and deep faith. They help us to build confidence in God that he has got to do it. I'm so amazed how loving the Lord is and how faithful he is to his word. Pretty much every single life in this meeting, and the calls come, and I'm thankful they're not moaning. Some of them are, it's a suffering with a laugh of joy. Brother, he's bringing it on. Every single life, you're being tried. You're even despairing of your life right now, brothers and sisters. Things are happening. God has got us on a learning curve like this, and you know why? His son's coming. He wants us to be ready. And there's a pressing going on right now. This world is groaning. Everything's groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. It's coming. They're going to be presented. The answers, they're not there. They never were. But the Ponzi game, as I call it, is running out. There's only so many trees that we can keep printing. Did I say that? Come on. You know this, and it is quickly approaching, isn't it? Praise the Lord. I'm glad my time's coming. I'm thankful for the life he's given me. It's been so wonderful. I'm already blessed with all the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ, but I love the fringe benefits off those blessings. It's incredible. I'm thankful for this life, but praise the Lord, when the trump sounds by his grace, it's goodbye, world, goodbye. There's nothing I want to take, praise the Lord, because I'm brand new. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Now, see God in his faithfulness. He's invited all sorts of infirmities and weaknesses to your table. See, you thought he was going to bring you things that you thought you wanted to see. And he's saying, no, honey, I know better. Trust me. I'm going to bring all this in here. And I'm going to bring these in here so that you're going to draw nigh to me. I'm going to bring these guests, so you're going to have to nestle up to me at the table and say, I'll even get in his lap. Say, I need you. I need to depend on you. Look at who's here. But as he continues to whisper the word of God to me, I start to delight, just like Brother Paul. He said, I glory in my infirmities. That was the highest of heights to Paul. In my weaknesses, that's the best part. I'm learning this thing. I'm getting it. The light went on. That God, in this natural setup that you put in my life, all my characteristics, all of the personality traits, everything in here, praise the Lord, especially the weakness parts. That's where I have to depend upon you. And Paul said, I glory in them. God, open them up in my life. This is wonderful stuff. Come on. And what a cast of characters all these enemies are that are all about this table. But see, they think they are. Remember, we got to put this in the perspective of God. Fear might be sitting to my left. Bitterness and jealousy might be right on your right and left. I don't know. Anxiety kind of across the table. How about fornication, alcoholism, or infidelity maybe sitting way across over there, kind of glancing at you. Them are enemies. How about disobedient to parents? Man, brother, it sounds like he invited them all. Well, sure he did. But for the grace of God, there go I. See, I'm not above any of that stuff, are you? I hope you know who you are, but for God. Oh, there's a lot of people that think, well, I can handle it. I can just hang in there. No, you can't. You're going to break someday. And I encourage you to break now. Get it over with and let him do the work. Start realizing that he's the one, praise the Lord, that sets the table, that sets the order, that's put those ones that might be the most uncomfortable to your life right at your right and left. He knows what he's doing. Oh my. See, they're there for one all-important reason. And he whispers this to me every day. And he has to because he knows how frail and quick to unbelief I am, at least. Because I know it. He says to me, honey, I know you. And I planned you. And I'm hopelessly and forever in love with you. Will you trust me? Will you believe me? When I tell you that you know that all things work together for your good, because my grace has caused you to love me, will you accept that simple, all-powerful truth? Oh, you didn't get that one. How about I'll perfect that which concerns you? How about if I be for you, who could be against you? Come on. We're in good keeping. We are in good keeping. And he says, now watch me. I've got them all in check. Can you imagine? I've even got your back. I remember there's been ones that said, well, you know, that armor, you put it all on, but it doesn't cover your back if you run. Let me tell you something. I've been kicked in you know where so many different times. I'm thankful that armor covers that too. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It covers me. How about you? See, I'm learning how powerful he is. And when I learn how powerful and all-encompassing he is, that he's set before me and behind me and his hands over me, then I start to turn around and I stand. That's all he said to do, stand. Honey, I've already given it to you. The promise is yours. Just fight for what I've already given you. He said, I blessed you, I blessed you, I blessed you, I blessed you, I blessed you. I blessed you with all the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. I gave you my son. He gave you his son. Get this, let it be real to you that he gave you the lamb. He put him on that cross for you. He died for you. He became sin. He became sin, all of that ugly, wretched, vile, never to be remembered again in just the mere words of, Lord, I believe. In the sea of forgetfulness, as far as the east is from the west, I'm free, I am free. He that believeth in me, praise God, cannot sin. Do you see his life? Do I see his life? I pray I do, because I'm going to be disappointed if I'm seeing anything else. Then I'm going to learn to live, huh? And live abundantly, huh? And rejoice in the life that lives in me, and rejoice in the life that lives for me. See, he's for us. And if he be for us, who could be against us? Just my mind when I go into unbelief. See, but that's not who we are. See, it can't be. See, lies are things that are untrue. Lies are things that cannot, did not, and will not happen. They're falsehoods. And if I be for you, who could be against you? Oh, I'm seeing some mighty tables out there today. I'm seeing some people, instead of getting under the table like this and popping their head up, they're, hey, this is my table. I get it. I'm thankful to God. That's okay. Hey, you're here. Watch my Lord. Oh, you're over there. You're the one that used to get me a lot of time. Praise be to God. I think we're getting it. Amen. See, this is what it's about. We need to get happy in the Lord. See, count him faithful. Amen. And not just for me, I'm going to do it for you too. I don't want to get bogged down and say, oh, poor brother, that poor sister, time and time again. No! I look to the Lord, and in the name of Jesus, deliver me. Deliver me. Praise the Lord. Now, we're wrapping it up. Remember, I said they don't even realize that they're there. See, because the dinner's not finished yet. Nope. Mm-mm. See, there's a part two. Well, there are many parts to it, but this is the final course. We'll just jump ahead. When their eyes are going to be enlightened to who they are eating with. See, they still don't know because they don't want to know. But they're going to know. And boy, are they going to be surprised. Again, all the while they thought that they were hurting me. Inflicting things that were just going to get in my way and tear me down. But soon, very soon. You know, sister, it's written right here, soon and very soon. You know, God is so, he is amazing. He's going to make them of the synagogue of Satan. And that's exactly who they is. All right? Come and bow down before you and know that I have loved thee. Revelation 3:9. And that's part of my joy unspeakable and full of glory. Lord, I would have never taken that place, but I see you won it for me. And I've seen you've won it for me. And I think I'll just sit down. Amen? You going to sit down? I'm going to sit down. Can you imagine the surprise? All that evil? That God even worked all that together for my good? Huh? The Thanksgiving table? I'm talking the Thanksgiving table. Your entire life. Are you giving him thanks for it? I'm not talking just the things you want to remember. I'm talking about in all things, always. That God, it had to be that way. Yeah. That's a strum of a heart, see? Praise God. Those guests, they're going to know and they're going to bow. Revelation 3:9 even says they're going to come and worship you. Oh my. That's just right before he cast them, along with old Satan, into the lake of fire, never to roam again. So I say happy Thanksgiving, huh? And the happiest of Thanksgiving because God is on the throne. And His Son loves you. Let's bow our heads. Thank you, Lord. We give you the praise today, Jesus. We thank you again for your truth. We thank you for the sweet time that we have in your word. Lord, this is your truth. Help us to receive the simplicity of your message. I love you just because I love you. Thank you again for it. Let us be thankful. Again, we are grateful that you bring us together. In Jesus' name, amen.